to trample Satan today. Here where the saints were sleeping, now feel the blood a leaping high in the spirit of the King of all kings. Towering in mighty fame, able to do all things, now may your proud standard gloriously reign.
Around once more when it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
That will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay the prices high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive, don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more when it does.
And when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play a call for the boy.
There'll be times hard to control, and you'll find you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel.
It's gonna roll around once more when it does.
When it does.
It will even up the score. Don't be weak.
Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more when it does. It will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. Cause that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
Good morning, and that old wheel has rolled around again, and we welcome you to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers, coming to you live this April 4th, Saturday morning, 2020, and we've got a full crew on this morning. Good morning, Brother Tim.
Good morning. I'm glad to be here.
Amen. And good morning, Jason. And John, good morning.
Morning.
And we say good morning to you, the remnant. We thank you for joining us. And we'll have the phone lines open up this morning. Hope you have your coffee. Hope you have your Bibles open. And well, John, we'll ask you to open us up in prayer. Don't know anywhere else to go but to prayer.
Amen. I'm going to start out with Psalm 91 that I hope everyone is starting their day with as well. Definitely the times for these kind of prayers and to claim these promises that God gave to His people, who are called by His name, who take refuge in the shadow of the Almighty. Psalm 91. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust, for it is He who delivers you from the snare of the trapper and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with His pinions, and under His wings you may seek refuge. his faithfulness, and his shield is a bulwark. You will not be afraid of the terror by night, or the arrow that flies by day, or the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, or of the destruction that lays waste at noon. 1,000 may fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not approach you. You will only look on with your eyes and see the recompense of the wicked, for you have made the Lord my refuge, even the Most High your dwelling place, and no evil will befall you, nor will any plague come near your tent. For he will give his angels charge concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will bear you up in their hands, lest you strike your foot against a stone. You will tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent you will trample down. Because he has loved me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him securely on high, because he has known my name. He will call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will rescue him and honor him. With a long life I will satisfy him, and let him behold my salvation. And your word says, Father, that we would be hearing of wars and rumors of wars, and that we are not to be frightened of those things, because they must take place. But that is not yet the end, for nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And in various places there will be famines and earthquakes. And all these things are merely the beginning of the birth pangs. Well, Father, we see these things just today in the headlines. All of these things are mentioned. Even the signs in the skies are mentioned as this comet Atlas races towards the earth. Looks like it'll be visible right on the very day of Pentecost. So we are living in those times and those days, but Lord, we're not praying for an end to this trial and tribulation and test. We're praying that you remember grace and mercy and compassion for your people in your wrath, and that you would find us worthy to escape the things that are coming. It's the same analogy of the people all across the country that are hitting their knees and asking for you to pull back this coronavirus. Well, how much different is that than those that were outside of the ark and begging to be brought into the ark at the last minute just to save their lives? That's the only reason. And Father, we know that 2 Chronicles 7:14 is how you desire for us to be restored as a nation. That if your people who are called by your name would humble themselves and pray and seek your face and turn from their wicked ways, then you would hear from heaven, forgive our sin, and heal our land. And Lord, we can see that those terrors are becoming more bold and brazen. They don't hide anything anymore, and Father, would not be a problem if some of those demonic terrors were to be removed with regards to this trial, test, and tribulation. But Lord, we cry out to you for grace and mercy and compassion. Father, help us to draw closer to our families, closer to our children, closer to our spouses, and closer to you, Lord. Thank you for this time that you set aside for us to come together, not as a congregation, but as a family, and to return to the things that are important. Thank you for this chance to slow down in this crazy world and just reevaluate the things that are important. We ask that you would guide and direct us this morning. Give us wisdom, understanding, and discernment. With so much going on in the world today, we can see that your hand is at work in a mighty way, and that destruction is coming upon some. Lord, we lift up those that are in those cities. We have our people, Lord, members of the body in New York and New Jersey and California, almost all the states, Lord, there's members of the body, because you said that you would scatter the remnant, Lord, and the remnant is scattered, not only in this country, but throughout the world. Father, I believe that they may see 1,000 die on one side of them and 10,000 on the other, but it shall not harm them. And Lord, we plead that precious, holy, cleansing, healing, protective blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ over those that are yours. And we claim all the promises that come with that. Father, just we protect them, Lord. Put a hedge of angels and ring of fire and a shield of light around them that no evil can penetrate. Father, let them be the shining light in a dark world. Send your ministering angels out ahead of us, Lord, to prepare those people that can come to repentance, as hearts and minds and souls, to receive the truths. Thank you for the opportunity to live in the times that are not much different than the times of Egypt. Thank you for the truth that you revealed to us about the critical significance of keeping the 91st days and the Passover, Lord. Thank you for the provisions that you made this week. I thank you for the opportunity that I had to share that with 50-plus families who took it seriously and were grateful that someone cared enough to share those truths with them. Father, there's a makeup day coming, May 1st. I pray that all your people who are called by your name would take that seriously and use this opportunity to share that truth about Passover with all of those that can come to repentance, that they would be also protected by the blood of Jesus. We pray in the name above all other names, Jesus Christ the Nazarene. Amen.
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 Amen. Hallelujah. Well, God is good. He is. His word is true. And whether times are good and the stock market's up and everybody's healthy and the bills are paid, and you know, whether it's times like that we praise God, or these bad times, normally it's these bad times, it is, that awakens his people. It is. When we read through it's an apt description of our stiff-necked Israelites, stubborn. That's how our people are. That's how they've been described. And it usually takes something like this to awaken his people. How far this will go, we were talking earlier, it has already changed the landscape of America. It will continue to, and not only America, but the world. And you know, in Joel,
yeah, like,
go ahead, John.
Go ahead. Well, it was like Pastor Peter said a few months before September 11th, that the world would never be the same, and it never was. I mean, the reality is the only ones who lost freedom was the American people, and the enemies of God and his people used it against his people. And people kind of laughed at me when this thing first hit, and I said, well, I got news for you. This is going to be 100-fold worse than 9/11. Oh, no, it's not. It's just going to, it'll blow over. And I said, no, it's not. This is going to be 100-fold worse. The good news is, just like in the message last week, when God was speaking to Job, and he said he set the borders for the seas. He said, so far and no more. And we talked about how these different viruses, six in the last 10 years, have God's allowed them to go so far and no more, so far and no more. And this one he'll allow to go so far and no more. I don't believe that this is Armageddon. This isn't the end of the world. It's designed for one specific purpose, to slow the people down and to bring them into their homes and to refocus on the things that are important in life. But you know, I thought about this the other day too. What was it? I think it might be in Matthew 24, but I'm not 100% sure, where God was disciplining those that were violating his laws and his commandments and his statutes. And what did they do? They got even bit madder, and they cursed God. And we have the same thing going on in this world. You have those that are coming to complete repentance. They understand what's going on. They understand that this is the judgment of God for our sins. And then you have those who are cursing God How dare a God, a loving God, would do such a thing, even though they don't even know him. And then today I read about one of the anchors on MSNBC that had a pastor, guest pastor on, and he asked him to pray. And the headline was that hell froze over as some, a journalist on MSNBC asked a pastor to pray. And to try to justify it, he says, well, you know, it's in times like this that we need to really go to prayer. No, it's all the time that we need to go to prayer.
Amen.
And you can't just call on you can't just call on God. It was Pastor Poach that gave me that analogy. It makes total sense. God put Noah and his family in an ark to protect them. But how many thousands or millions were outside in the last minutes, seconds, whatever it was, when the flood came, that were crying out to be saved? It doesn't work that way, folks. You have to repent first, fall upon your face, cry out, ask for forgiveness, and then God will grant you protection. You can't just cry out in the last minute. Coronavirus can't be knocking on your door and you fall upon your face and say, I'm sorry, Lord, forgive me. It doesn't work that way. Time's running out, just like in Revelation where Jesus said, I'm coming. And then he says, I'm coming soon. And then he says, I'm standing at the door. Well, I got news for you. He's standing at that door, and that door is the door of salvation. And his hand's on that door, and that door will shut at some point.
Amen. Amen, it will. It will. It is, you know, and we see those stories. Our pastor taught on those stories, the wise and foolish virgins. Those are Christians. Those were those that called themselves Christians. And some had that understanding. Some had paid the price to buy the oil of understanding, and some had not. And those that had paid the price to buy that oil, those that had bought that free gift that God offers, that free gift that his son offers, but it still takes a price. I heard a young Christian pastor speak just last week on that very thing. Said, and you know what it cost? You know what that free gift cost you? It doesn't cost something. It cost everything. It cost everything. It cost you your life is what it cost you. But if you'll, you know, there's a communion message right there. But it does. It costs you your life. But if you'll give your life up for it, the rewards are salvation and eternal life with Christ. And it is good to see, and I think we are all seeing some awaken. And it's not going to be all. It's not going to be the masses. It never has been. When we look through the Bible stories, it has always been a remnant. And the Bible even says it is a remnant that shall be saved. A remnant shall return. Even back in Joel, we hear about and we read about the locust of Joel, the devastation, the starvation, the drought, the visitation, those that come in that like a people arranged for battle, it says. And starting in verse 10 of Joel 2, it says, before them the earth quakes, the heavens tremble, the sun and the moon grow dark, and the stars lose their brightness. The Lord utters his voice before his army. Surely his camp is very great, for strong is he who carries out his word. The day of the Lord is indeed great and very awesome. And who can endure it? Yet even now, declares the Lord, and that now is right now, return to me with all your heart, and with fasting, weeping, and mourning, and rend your heart and not your garments. Now return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, abounding in loving kindness, and relenting of evil. Who knows whether he will not turn and relent? And so those instructions are throughout the Bible. Choose you this day, return to him, return to me, and I will return to you. And it is this day, yet even now, declares the Lord. And so, like you said, John, there's time now to repent and return. Some have, not all. Some have, but you can't wait. Yeah, and you know, we just had Passover, and in the days of Egypt, you couldn't wait until it was night, and until you heard, if you even heard, that death angel come. And when that death angel came to the door, it was too late then. either the blood was applied or it wasn't when that death angel came. It was too late when he showed up.
Yep.
And he's coming back.
Well, what's interesting is people ask me, you know, people that have asked me to pray over them, and people who kind of look at, you know, how it is if they think you're crazy until times like this happen, and then they come to you to try to see what you think and what's going on. Are you praying against this thing? And I'm saying, yeah, no, I'm not praying against it. And they're, well, what do you mean you're not praying against it? I said, God's using this to do a mighty work, and I am not led at all to pray against it. All I'm led to do is to pray for grace, mercy, compassion in God's wrath, and that he would find us worthy to escape the things that are coming. That's it, period. Right now is not the time to be praying against this. This is the Lord's will that's being done. There's a lot of very good that's coming out of it. Sure, it may hurt us financially. Sure, it may hurt us in our lifestyle and the way that we live. But you know what? If we emerge from this trial, tribulation, and test closer to the Lord, if we emerge as more of a Christian nation, if His people who are called by His name turn back to God, then it's all worth it. And if it takes taking this thing all the way down to the ground, so be it.
Amen. Amen. Tim, how do you see things from a flyover state viewpoint? And you know, I don't mean that as in a bad way at all.
No. There's a lot of changes going on, and the hearts of men are being sifted. I kind of see some of that going on with people. I mean, I've talked to several people just in the last few days, and it's interesting to see viewpoints realigned and a lot of things happening. I talked with a man yesterday, and he had his son along with him, and I asked him, well, are you helping out? I said, are you going to school? And he said, no. And his dad said, yeah, he is. He's going to school with me. He said, I'm teaching him things. And I was like, that's awesome. I said, you never stop learning. And, I seen one the other day, one go by from, I think it was the teachers union blurb, and they were talking about, we need to get these kids back into public school because, and the gist of it was, and it was almost what they said, was they're going to learn to think for themselves, and they're not going to follow the established rules of our situation, you know, of our teaching and they'll learn to get along without us. It's like, praise God, you know, I mean, it's like one of those things, and then you get some people to think. I mean, we talk about that all the time, about how that, you know, there needs to be some status quo changes, and there are some coming. And I mean, there's the upsides and there's the downsides and everything else, but, Romans 8:28, and we're seeing a lot of interesting things. I talk about the terrorist heads popping up through things as we go along with this. I mean, you know, we're seeing all these things that the enemies of God are wanting to bring out. The UN's crying for a super fund that's going to take 10% of the GDP of every country in the world, and they want a super fund to take care of coronavirus or COVID. And we've got, you know, lots of other things going on. And people are just like, no, you know, this is, digital currency is another one they want. And of course, these are all things that they're crying for the same thing. And they're showing their, spots. I like the when the Bible talks about a leopard doesn't change its spots. And I think we're seeing that from these, closet communists. Everything else. They just, they don't really care about the plight of people. They don't care about any of those sort of things. The only states that really deserve any concern are like New York and California. There's a major thrust on those two places. And yet, one fellow I was talking to said it's really interesting that, Nancy Pelosi put all these billions into that stimulus bill. but for everything from, you know, the Kennedy Arts Center and public radio and a lot of other places that, you know, have nothing to do with helping people. But she, half of that money would have bought a home for every homeless person in her district. But she wasn't interested in doing that. I mean, talk about lights being shined upon the workers of iniquity. I mean, I think we're seeing a lot of that. And I, the public outcry and the outrage, even among their own constituents and their own, the people who espouse what they thought they believed is, God can truly change the hearts and minds of people. Because you could talk to them till you're blue in the face, but there's some things going on that are changing perceptions and changing the way people think. And, you know, it is one of those things. I mean, it's a calling out. So, but everybody here is, there's a difference in the feel of community. People pull together a little more. They're a little easier to get along with. You know, they're trying to work together. There's some of that. So I think that's a blessing too. And it's kind of slowed life down a little bit. I mean, you know, they keep everybody under their thumb so much and running so hard, they never have time to think about anything else. And I think we're seeing that change. So,
like you said, Tim, it gives us an opportunity to spend time with our children and stuff. I was working with my youngest son this week and kind of showing him the ropes of doing a brake job and repacking bearings and stuff on an older four-wheel drive. I mean, a lot of the new ones are all bolt-in hub assemblies, makes it pretty easy to do brakes. But the old vehicles where they had bearings and seals and, you know, you had to actually be a mechanic to take apart the automatic locking hub and all that stuff. You know, he's never seen anything like that. And I do one side, you know, and then I'll let him do the other side. And he's never even seen these brake tools and springs because you'd hardly need anything anymore to do these brakes on the newer gen vehicles. But I got news for you. You know, there's a pretty strong likelihood that some of these older vehicles are going to be the ones that are being driven around right now. That they're saying that the new car sales are just totally decimated, and they just don't even see how the new car sales can come back. And, you know, but those are the shiny things that people, vanity, right? You know, Ecclesiastes, all of this is vanity, vanity. And God's taken away the vanity. And, you know, people are like, why don't you just buy a new truck? There's great deals going on right now and all that. And I said, why would I? You know, I have an older truck. It's paid for. I'm not going into debt. And, you know, even if I was a billionaire, the fact of you trying to, flaunt those kind of things in front of people who are really going to have trouble eating, to be honest with you. We talked about how the pale horse was coming and is here. Well, guess what? The black horse is coming and is here, and that famine is here as well. And it's not just going to be the famine of food; it's the famine of information too. At some point, the likelihood of the internet going down or cell phones going down and things like that at some point with regards to what's going on in the world right now is pretty high, in my opinion. And if you think about that, most people have got rid of their landlines. Not that those will continue to work either, but you lose communication between people, and that's when chaos sets in. There's a reason why California tried to shut down all the ham operators and things like that. And, you know, it's time to blow the dust off the CBs and put them back in the vehicles and maybe hook one up in the house and put an antenna up, because the likelihood that at some point that might be a source of communication, at least with our loved ones and our friends that we know that we can count on, because it's going to take more than just you and your family to get through the things that are coming. You're going to have to start depending on those that are like-minded, kindred spirit is what I call it. And there ain't very many of them, you know. There's only a handful, probably less than what I can count on one hand that I would trust in times like this. But what do you see, Jason? You always have a different perspective than most.
Well, I was reading in Ezekiel 39 this week, and I think that I think that the Lord led me there, and I was trying to do a search, and it says in verse 12, it says, for 7 months the house of Israel will be burying them in order to cleanse the land. Even all the people of the land will bury them, and it will be to their renown on the day that I glorify myself, declares the Lord God. And I was just, you know, I mean, it's, here we got these prophecies, and we've got a lot of prophecies in Ezekiel, and it really seems like we might be in the prophetic time of Ezekiel. And it's just, you know, it's that I've wondered. It's like, has Israel in this land, and I believe that Ezekiel, when these prophecies in Ezekiel are talking about this land, and I've never seen where it takes Israel 7 months to bury the dead, and I don't know if this is it, or if this is a precursor to what's to come. I mean, or if this is going to happen in 5 years, 10 years, 100 years, how far it is. But I know for a fact that it hasn't happened yet on this land. That's kind of a sobering thought when you stop and you you think about everybody, basically society coming to a halt and going from sea to shining sea, and it taking 7 months to bury the dead. That's a pretty sobering thought.
Yeah, that's interesting that you said that. Yesterday I read an article in New York where they're thinking about taking the prisoners and having them, they're going to pay them $6 an hour is what I read, to dig graves for the people, because I think it's close to 2,000 dead right now in New York, and that's just the beginning of this blow-up that's taking place. I did talk to someone in pretty high up in the medical industry as far as the hospital industry, and they're not a conspiracy theorist by any means. They are a Christian, maybe not to the extent of what, you know, the understanding that we've been given. But bottom line is, they believe that this thing is targeted to take out the senior citizens and those with pre-existing health conditions. So you're talking about taking out those who are on Social Security. You're taking out those who are worthless eaters in their eyes. And you're talking about taking out those that cost the government through Medicaid and Medicare and whatever else they come up with a lot of money to take care of. So for this person to say that is significant, in my opinion.
Yeah, and that's what the doctors and stuff that I've been in contact with are saying as well. They're saying that it's affecting, basically there's some areas where the kill rate on it is, you know, affecting those with diabetes, any kind of respiratory issue, like you said, the elderly people, you know, that are over the age of 65 seems to be a magic number, and you kind of think of 65 as being, you know, average retirement age. And so it's the people that are over 65, it's the people that, just like you said, that they look at as parasites. You know, people with the health conditions, pre-existing health conditions that are on the system that, you know, are on Medicare, Medicaid, anything like that. It's, that's exactly what I'm hearing as well.
Yeah, if you think about it, Revelation 6, 5 through 6, when the Lamb opened the third seal, there's a lot of people that are talking about how the seals are being opened right now, and I believe that as well. I heard the third living creature say, "Come," and I looked, and there before me was a black horse, and its rider was holding a pair of scales in his hand. Then I heard what sounded like the voice among the four living creatures saying, 2 pounds of wheat for a day's wages, and 6 pounds of barley for a day's wages, and do not damage the oil and the wine. And you know, this nation's been weighed and found wanting, and you know, we talked about this months ago, the flooding that hit the Midwest, and how that hasn't even hit us yet as far as the reduction in corn production and all of that. I guess corn, the prices of corn just dropped through the bottom again this week as well. And, you know, they expect oil
the lie is that China's back up and running and you know, going to be a superpower again. No, that's not the case at all. In fact, from what I read, it looks like a second round of this virus is hitting China now. And the fact that China's number one, you know, whatever commercial complex is shut down is causing a huge glut of oil, and you got tanker after tanker after tanker that are just backlogging in these ports and have no place to unload the oil. And, you know, whatever, you can say whatever you want about Donald Trump, but God give him a mind for business. And one of his first proposals when this started to hit the markets and stuff was to fill up the national reserves with oil. And I forget how many it was, 90 million barrels or billion barrels they wanted to buy and kind of shore up the oil industry. And apparently, from what I read, Nancy Pelosi absolutely refused to let that in there to pass the stimulus bill or whatever. So, but now he's beaten with the shale, U.S. oil producers, shale producers, and apparently they're going to get the deal done through some backdoor legislation. But you can see, you know, that the terrorists, just like I think Tim was mentioning, that they put these provisions in there. I mean, if you think about it, somebody did the numbers. I think 390 million people times 2 trillion, it was somewhere between 12 and 18,000 per person. That's not just adults. That's per person. That's every man, woman, and child. So now you talk, what, 6 trillion possibly? That's, I don't know, somewhere in the $50,000 to $60,000 per man, woman, and child in the country.
Wow.
Yeah. You do those numbers, it's astronomical.
They're really hard to even grasp. I mean, they're just, you know, but yes, you're right. Crazy.
So if you think about that, if you got a family of four, that's 200 to 240,000 per family. You got a family of six, that's 300,000, 340,000, you know, per family. Like you said, there's your house, you know, paid off for every family. But the insanity is that this money, the, you know, is well, I don't know, the thing that really gets people to wake up, I think, was just this week there was a 1,000-point loss in the stock market. And bottom line is, you know, you just tell them that, well, guess what? Federal Reserve is out of rabbis in the hat, you know. They don't have anything left to throw at this thing. They've pulled out all the stops. They've admitted it. We're pulling out all the stops. And so that's what's got people scared, I believe, as far as those who don't understand the spiritual aspects of what's going on.
Amen. Well, Remnant, phone lines are open this morning, 307-745-5913, if you'd like to give a call, if you have a comment. John, you mentioned about the glut in oil, and I saw some things this week, got some emails in, some that dumping milk dairies, Wisconsin as well as Florida, you know, milk tankers, because of the government subsidies on milk, and that they've set artificial purchasing, you know, levels and that type of stuff, that they've had to dump, not because the milk went bad, but just you know, dump tankers of milk. And so it is, it's just the times that we're living in. They don't make sense to those that think logically, to those that think biblically, until you look through and see that, you know, things are changing. Things are not like today, you know, they're not like they were yesterday or the day before. They're not at all.
Yeah, you know, the first thing I saw early this morning when I woke up was the headlines, and that's why I read the scripture in Matthew 24, but basically, first headline, 1,482 recent earthquakes in California are swarming again. Cascadia is also in play, as three volcanoes in the Cascadia subduction zone waiting to give way. Next headline, Iran deploys missile launchers along Strait of Hormuz. U.S. and European diplomats evacuated from Iraq. So right there, you got earthquakes, and you got wars and rumors of wars. And then one of the Acres of Diamond men sent something here this morning that this new comet that's coming is called Atlas, and it appears that it should be most visible probably on the day of Pentecost. So then you got the signs in the heavens, right, which we're seeing anyways with the blood moons and all of that. So, you know, anybody who says that these aren't biblical times, this, if we're not living through Revelation, in fact, hopefully I'm going to talk about it tomorrow, but the ID 2020 program and the new vaccine, being able to control your ability to buy and sell. I got news for you. Their plans are you ain't going to be able to work. You ain't going to be able to get food. You ain't going to do nothing unless you have the vaccine, unless you're vaccinated, and they can track you. I mean, that's their goal, and they're not hiding it. I mean, this is they're boldly proclaiming this stuff when people ask them questions at these forums. So, Lord willing, I hope to expose a little bit more of that tomorrow, too.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. The old missile bases that they built back in the 60s, between 60 and basically 65, were all called Atlas missile bases. So they had Atlas D's, E's, F's, and that they had the letter was a designation for it, but that's what they were preparing for was Atlas.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, remember,
pretty cool.
The old cartoons used to have Atlas with the, this is again from the Acres of Diamond Men, but remember the old cartoons used to have Atlas with the world on his back. Remember that?
Huh.
So.
Interesting.
Well, right now, Jesus is, well, he always has, he's holding that world in his hand, and he's like, you know, I'm not slow as the world counts slowness. But I'm a patient God.
That's right.
And I don't want any of my people to come to destruction. I want them to come to repentance. And I'm going to take them to the point where these birth pangs become closer and closer, and they become more intense and more intense. And then, you know what? I've given them free will. They have a choice. They can repent. They can turn back to me, and I'll restore their land. Or they can be like in the last days, the righteous would remain righteous and the wicked would remain wicked, and they can curse me and reap, you know, the cause of what they've done, reap the benefits of what they've done.
Amen. Guys, let's go to the phone lines. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Thank you, Richard. Good morning to you and John and everybody on board. It's Anthony here from New Jersey. Out here, not far from the epicenter of the New York coronavirus breakout. And just wanted to bring up a couple points here. Now, everybody right now is sick, or they have everybody in a hysteria of panic, and they're using fear. Fear as leverage against the masses. And it's not just here, of course. It's globally. Every single country in the entire civilized world is under lockdown right now, and the economies are being destroyed, and everyone's in fear of this pandemic, and it's real. This is a real virus. My sister works at a hospital. One interesting point, she works in labor and delivery. She's an RN. Mothers cannot go closer than 6 feet from their newborn infant. They cannot nurse the child. They cannot hold the child. They cannot comfort the child. The child is not accessible to the mother. So nothing makes sense on that.
Wow.
And among a million of other things. However,
which means
also she mentioned that the they've had 16 deaths here. They had 40 or 39 beds in ICU. Now they have 70 beds in ICU with 34 ventilators. And their negative pressure rooms going and blowing this stuff right out of these rooms, fourth and fifth floor, unfiltered air, and they say this thing is airborne, right out into the atmosphere. I find that very interesting. Not only that, they're also squeezing these nurses. Go ahead, Richard.
Or Jason, go ahead.
Yeah, I was talking with a doctor, and she was telling me the exact same thing. She said these ventilators and these breathing machines, like the respirators and stuff that they're putting them on them with, that are, you know, for mist in their lungs. Area away from everybody else, because they said that it's just taking everything and it's going into your lungs and then it's making it airborne.
Oh yeah, right. And very alarming and sensationalized fear-mongering articles are all over the news. Mainstream, of course. I mean, they didn't become our friends all of a sudden. We know how deceitful they are, and they're all corporately run, from Fox down to MSNBC and all in between. It's the left-right paradigm. But there's a lot of illogical things going on. And they are also, now with all the money, trillions of dollars, you have the healthcare workers and nurses and doctors included, are all on the front line now. What they're doing over there is they've cut their vacation pay. They've cut their, they've done up to the 401K. They stopped contributing to it. And they also took away their sick time. And they're attacking, going after their union, the nurses union over there at the same time, during this pandemic, on people on the front line. Tell me that makes any sense.
You know anything like
that? Yeah,
why would they do that to somebody?
Room.
And they said that, she said to me, they're giving me every single reason under the sun not to want to go to work.
Yeah, the things that are being done are not, they're not logical. They're not, it doesn't make sense to the majority of us, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah. And if you start looking behind the scenes, like we all do, we're all watchmen here for the most part, and then some. The CEOs and all these people who have been moving their chips around behind the scenes, heavy duty movement of money, and is like things that happened prior to 9/11, where insurance policies were taken out, things were moved, the Twin Towers, Building 7. This is a biological warfare. This is a planned attack.
Amen.
On the entire world, to help usher in the one world global government that's prophesied about in the Bible. And these are the things that they're using, draconian, Orwellian measures, to keep us safe from them. Like, these people really care about us. And I'll be honest with you, Trump is included in this scheme. All the global leaders and the elites are all fighting for power. Gates is in on it, of course. He's the IT guy, basically, for the beast system. Elon Musk with his Space Link or Starlink, that they're putting up those thousands of satellites to blanket the entire world. Because the next logical step, they have to and they will implement mandatory testing. You can be sure of that. And also mandatory vaccination. And Mr. Gates comes out. It's been on the internet and the news and everything. He wants to have some type of a tracking device, a tracking chip in us. Now, I'm not saying that's the mark of the beast, but heck, that is pretty close. Now, so we will have to mandatorily get vaccinated, or else what? We don't know what they're going to. They have National Guard troops stationed all over the country, National Guard troops, reserve troops, and who knows what the next thing would be? UN troops. We are living in some. We are at war.
Amen. And you know, when people talk about, you know, we should stand up against the things that are going on, yeah, you have to make your own decision on what that line is, but my line is the line that Pastor Peter said, I'm not giving up my guns, period. And if they want to give me a shot, I'll give them a shot. They want 223, 308, whatever they decide. So there's lines that have to be drawn. Everyone has their own lines of where they're going to draw those lines. And obviously, nobody wants to allow the things that are going on right now to be going on, but I think it's important that we understand that as long as we continue to keep our firearms, we can always take back whatever they tried to take freedom wise. But as soon as we give up those, or as soon as we get inoculated
with poison, because I got news for you, the members of this audience are going to get a little extra ingredient in their vaccine, then we lose. But, you know, you can give up on Trump right now. As of right now, let's face it, he's about the only thing that we got that's still at least somewhat in our court. If he is on the other side, and I'm not saying that it's not a possibility, then the only other alternative is civil war. So as of right now, I'm still holding out hope that God's using him in a mighty way.
Amen.
Well, John, you know, I agree with you on that as far as, but I watched this whole documentary on who and Trump when he was bailed out in the 90s, one of these big banksters, one of these big, I don't know if it was Lehman Brothers or one of these guys, that he was going to be destroyed. He was going to go bankrupt. He was going to be destroyed. And somebody bailed him out. And not only did they bail him out, I mean, don't forget now, prior to all this stuff going on with Hillary, this political theater with Hillary and Trump, I mean, it's just so polarizing. And that fits right into the divide and conquer concept. Now, the media and all the stuff is all government globalist propaganda. And it's all perception of a deal.
Yeah.
So we watch the news. And so who more polarizing? I mean, we have Joe Biden. We have these straight-up pinko commies running for the Democrats and a multitude of people all about communism. And what we're looking at here are all the ingredients of communism. You know, what are we afraid of? Absolutely. We're afraid of dying, right? We're afraid of dying, and people are afraid of dying. So they're in fear. And now that fear can also induce, I mean, a placebo effect that you are going to get sick. Now, if this is a biological weapon, no doubt about it. But Psalm 91 does say, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. So if this is a weapon formed against us, our faith is going to get us through this. Now, whether we die or not, today, from getting hit by a bus or a bomb or who knows what, or next week if we get the coronavirus, God forbid, okay, well, we still have to prepare our souls. And people's souls are not prepared. And people's souls aren't ready to die. And they want to hold on to this life. So they're gonna bow down and they're going to submit to whatever the government who's going to take care of us and send us checks. Just stay at home. And, just stay at home. Now we got to wear masks. And then there's certain states like Florida. You can't even go to Florida. There are states on lockdown, and there are all kinds of language of locking each state, interstate travel, and mandatory lockdown. And in China,
well, Anthony, I hate to interrupt you, buddy, but we're running out of time here. I think we're in agreement here. We are. That is what the enemy puts out. That's what they've always put out. And there's a choice. You know, John, you mentioned it earlier. You got a choice, Remnant. You can be fearful. Oh my gosh, I can't go to Florida. Oh, I got to find a mask. I can't find a mask. Or you can read your Bible. You can trust in the Word. There were a lot of widows that died in the days of Elijah. But there were some that lived, and there was that remnant that lived through all the trials and tribulations we read about in the Old Testament, because God keeps His remnant. And for those that love Him, those that know His name, the Psalms 91 says, right? For those, because He has loved me, I will deliver him. That's the promise that we have. Anthony, thank you so much for the call. God bless, brother. We're praying for you out there. Well, John, it is about time to wrap it up. We've got another couple minutes before I'll invite our people to church. If you have some closing comments there.
Yeah, my closing comments are, so God couldn't change a man, right? Now, I say all the time, Donald Jehu Trump. You read the story in 1 Kings and 2 Kings, and you'll see that Jehu used to be high up in Ahab's army, and then yet he's the one who threw Jezebel down. Just remember that.
Amen.
And like I said, I may be wrong, and if I am, I will absolutely repent and apologize. But right now, we got one person that's fighting. Remember, these aren't just people. These are demons. And they're all around him, and they're fighting him on every aspect. Why would the things that have happened in the last 3 years have happened? Why is it that God allowed President Trump to win that election? Because no other reason makes sense. I got news for you. When you look into all of the details regarding the election in 2016, God put him in that position for a purpose. And that purpose is a window of opportunity for his people who are called by his name to repent and turn back to him. And as of right now, I haven't given up hope in the fact that God is still using him.
Amen.
That's all I got to say.
Anybody else?
Yeah, I can use the jawbone of an ass. So, and he's been able to use guys like me, and he chooses the weak and the foolish. So, yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I like how you said that, John.
I'm there with you, Jason.
I like how you said that, John, that God changes people, and thank God people can change. I changed. If you knew me before I was a Christian, you wouldn't know me now, and vice versa. And I think that's true for every one of us, and every one of us listening out there. And so thank God people have changed. Well, Remnant, we're going to be at church tomorrow. You know, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis said churches are essential and can remain open if that's what you want to do, folks. That's the governor down there in Florida. Well, we're here in the middle of the country. We're going to have church tomorrow. You don't have to come out here. You can join us at scriptures4america.org. And starting at 8:30 a.m. Mountain Time, that's 9:30 Central, 10:30 Eastern, you can join us at scriptures4america.org. Just click on the live video stream, and the good Lord willing, we will be there. We'll talk about the news a little bit. We'll have a classic, timeless pulpit truth message that they have been jumping off that screen at us, at least at me, just like they're right out of the Bible. I mean, they are for today. They are. John, looking forward to your live message. We will have communion and give you an opportunity, folks, to gather with the saints, even if it is just there at your computer. You know, our pastor saw this years ago, and by the leading of the Holy Spirit, he was able to make this happen. And we continue it on. So we thank you. Thank you, men. Thank you, Remnant, for joining us. And we'll see you at church tomorrow.
Rolling, rolling, rolling. Rolling, rolling, rolling. Rolling, rolling, rolling. Rolling, rolling, rolling. Stay high.
This country stolen, keep on rolling over Snake High. Fast and free together, make them hell and forever, knowing the king is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride. They're disapproving. Keep on moving over Snake High. Don't try to understand them. Just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their Snake Hides. My heart's calculating. Our king will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out. Head them off. Head them off. Move them out. Move them out. Head them off, Snake High.
Though they're disapproving, keep on moving over Snake High. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their Snake High. My heart's calculating, our king will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.